Good morning. What a blessing to be gathered this morning in the name that is above all name, the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is the purpose of this missions conference, and that is the purpose also of each of us individually who have, by grace and faith, come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. What a blessing to sing together this morning. I'm very grateful for our brethren who led us in the worship, helped us to open our hearts in song and music and lifting up the name of our great God. This morning, we want to study the passage which is known as the Great Commission. We have already had our reading from the book of Luke, but now let us go to Matthew chapter 28. And while we look for the text, I want to say that for my wife Tree here this morning and for myself, it has been a great blessing to come to know and to fellowship with you here at Grace Chapel in West Liberty. We're thankful for God's providence shown to us through Pastor Zach, Pastor Colby, Brother Mike, Brother Mark, the whole missions committee that have been instruments of God's purpose to allow us to be here this weekend. We have been blessed, we have been encouraged, and we're also very thankful to have had the opportunity of sharing of God's work among us in Mexico. Receive greetings from all our mission family. They are praying for us this morning and also thanking God for your lives. They have got to meet several of you individually that have come to visit us, and are hoping that many others will be moved by the Lord to come and serve with us and see God's work in that part of His kingdom, specifically in Mexico. So receive those greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and with much love on behalf of your brethren in Mexico. We would say, Dios le bendiga, which means God bless you. And that's what they are saying to you today. So we go to Matthew chapter 28. And we want to look at verses 16 through 20. The Word of God says, "But the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had designated. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some were doubtful. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.'" Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. And Father, we come before you asking for your blessing, for your mercy upon us as we meditate upon it. Lord, we acknowledge that only you can teach us your truth. And Father, we ask that, and we know that as a good father, when we ask for bread, you will not give us a stone, but you will give us those things that are necessary for our lives. And Lord, you know the need of each individual here. Father, I confess, I certainly don't. Often I don't know my own needs, Father, but you know all things. And we ask that your Holy Spirit have freedom to work through the truth of your word and bring to us the understanding we need, the conviction, the obedience, that through that we would honor you, bring you glory, and we know that this only is possible through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. The Great Commission. We have been learning about this in our Bible conference this week, and it has been a blessing to hear from Dr. Bennett as he has shared the Word of God on many of the texts that have to do with our missions endeavor in our country and throughout the world. But today I would like for us to go back in time and think of this event over 2,000 years ago that happened in the occasion of the disciples of Christ's lives. As you know, this is at the end of the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew has been teaching that Jesus, the Son of Man, is truly the Son of God, and he is also the promised King, the promised Messiah, as is the particular underlying truths in the Gospel of Matthew. At the beginning of this gospel, he refers to the promises made to Abraham, then to the promises made to David, that, as we know, show us how all the scripture from the Old Testament is leading and developing the scriptural truth that will come to its culmination, to its climax, to its greatest point, with the coming of the Son of God, the incarnation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And Matthew has been all about that. He has received this commission from the Lord to write down these truths, write down these facts, and write down of the glory of the awaited King and Savior, the Son of God. And so now we're at the end of the Gospel of Matthew, end of this book that he has written, inspired by the Holy Spirit. And he has related earlier in this chapter that first the Lord had told his disciples, after I am crucified, after I die, after I am buried, after I am resurrected, I will be alive, and I will meet with you. And he told them, I want you to go to Galilee. As we know, our Lord was crucified and buried in Jerusalem. And we know it's quite a journey up to Galilee, where the Lord had done the greater part of his earthly ministry. And he had taught and discipled his disciples. And he says, I want you to go meet me in Galilee after I have resurrected. That instruction was confirmed in this chapter by the women who went to the tomb searching for the Lord. And they also had this instruction confirmed. Tell his disciples to go to Galilee, to the mount where I will meet with them. Possibly the Mount of Transfiguration, we don't know for sure. Possibly Mount Tabor, we don't know. But a place that they knew. By this time, the Lord had appeared at least once to Peter, maybe twice, to Thomas. But now this is going to be a special encounter with his disciples and will be foundational for what is to come, including this writing itself, the whole New Testament is going to be impacted by this encounter planned by our Lord Jesus before he died. So his disciples, as we know, when he was arrested and then crucified, were greatly troubled, even though the Lord had told them that their hearts should not be troubled. The disciples were deeply troubled. The prophecy came true that the shepherd would be struck and the sheep would be scattered. The Lord had taken care of his sheep. When they came to arrest him, he came between them and the arrestors. Leave these alone. You've come. And he gave his life for his sheep. So now the time has come to begin the confirmation of the teaching, the confirmation of the future ministry, of the future mission, the Great Commission. And he pronounces this wonderful message to those who obeyed and went up to Galilee to meet with him, just as he said. Now, as we read these scriptures, sometimes we think this was an automatic happening. But no, they obeyed. They strapped on their sandals. They made that 100-kilometer trek to Galilee. Why? Because the Lord said, go there. I will meet with you there. Just in passing, we need to be where the Lord tells us to be if we are going to hear what the Lord wants us to hear. So I'm so thankful to see you here this morning. As we have prayed already, it is the Lord's will that we do not forsake our gathering together, but come together to receive the word of the Lord. Of course, the Lord is almighty and he can speak to us wherever he wants, but he does designate places and meetings for us, especially not physically places, but places where his people gather, where two or three are gathered in his name. He will speak to us there. So praise God for that. So they went, and it says here, they went to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had designated. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some were doubtful. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, so they've seen Jesus. Some realize that it's their Lord and Savior, resurrected, the Son of God, and they're worshiping him. Others are still struggling in their hearts. We're not sure exactly of the cause of their doubts. Maybe some were saying, is it really him? I need the experience of Thomas, maybe. We don't know. There were doubts. But thank God for these disciples. Thank God for Peter. Thank God for moments of doubts. We are also flesh and blood, sinful human beings that have, by God's grace, have been saved. We too have need to say, Lord, increase our faith. My faith is small, increase my faith. There are doubts at times. But Jesus came up. And by the way, the Lord will dispel our doubts through his word. It says he spoke to them. He will encourage our worship. He will dispel our doubts. But then he says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Throughout the Gospel of Matthew, the authority of the Lord Jesus has been well established. Sign after sign, as John will call them in his gospel. But these wonders and marvels, feeding of thousands, healing of the crippled, of the lepers, of the blind, rebuking and commanding evil spirits to leave people, speaking to nature itself, calling storms. Throughout the gospel, his authority has been already declared, has already been evidenced. But beloved brethren, the post-resurrection words of our Lord Jesus Christ have a special connotation of the authority of our Lord. This will be a great theme that will be developed intensively by the Apostle Paul, by the Apostle Peter, by the Apostle John. The resulting glory of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. What Christ is impersonating at this moment, what his being is declaring, I am the resurrected Savior. I am the Son of God. I am the Savior of man. I have received all authority to be the mediator. We could add the only mediator, because Paul will say that. There is no other name under heaven given unto men in which we may be saved. But he is declaring to them, as a result of his giving his life, his perfect God of law fulfilling life of obedience, of perfect obedience, of total dependence as a human upon the word of his Father, becoming the perfect second Adam, becoming our perfect representative, our perfect substitute, and living that life as we were supposed to, as image bearers of God created in the beginning but never did. He is here in human form, living perfectly as our representative, at the cross as our substitute, and throughout his whole life as our example that we should follow his footsteps. And this will be the theme of the gospel carrying apostles for the rest of their lives. All authority is given to me in heaven and earth. Let's hear them say it. Let's go to that so well-known text. And may our hearts also be saying it today. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. It's this well-known hymn that Paul writes here. It is a great text to have in our memory, in our hearts. Philippians 2, verse 5, he starts out applying it. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself, taking on the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. No humiliation in our lives can come anywhere close to the humiliation of the Son of God. His great condescension, if we were to graph this, he starts at an infinitely high point and travels down, down, down. He becomes one of his creatures. He becomes a man. And he is born, of course, miraculously, by a virgin. And then he lives in this world full of filth and sin, the world he made. As John will say, the world that he made and the world that knew him not. And continue to humble himself, become a servant. Illustrated in that so impactful way to his disciples as he got on his knees in the night, his final night of being with them and instituting his supper and taking the towel and putting it around his loins and then washing their feet. And it was a visible representation of the much greater humiliation as he would go to the cross and shed his perfect, holy blood to wash our sins. By the way, that is the only thing that can wash away the guilt of our sins. There is nothing we can do. There is no other name. There is no other sacrifice. There is nothing that can pay the price for our sins against our God except the blood of Jesus Christ. He went to the cross, the maximum place of humility. We know the description in the Gospels. Stripped, beaten, nailed, hung, vilified, yelled at, Hebrews says, for the joy that was before him, he despised all that. Our Lord knew the mission he was on. He knew the commission he had received. And that was to become the redeemer of humanity, to become the savior of God's people. And he did it to the end, and he said, it is finished. The debt was paid completely for our sins. For all those who by grace believe in Christ, our sins are totally paid, nothing to be added. And because of that, God is just to forgive us of our sins. But then Paul will say, to the death of cross. Verse 9. Let's not miss the therefore. This is a because of, the result of, the consequence of his great condescension and humiliation. Let us hear what it says. It says, therefore, also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that in the name of Jesus every knee should bow of those who are where? In heaven. What did Christ say to his disciples? All power, all authority has given to me in heaven, but not just heaven. It says here, and on earth and under the earth. Everything created. Of course, we know that the Son of God was in the beginning, and all things were made by him, and without him, nothing was made, John will say. But this is a new aspect. This is his glory, his position as the God-man who was obedient unto death, but who is now being exalted by the Father. His humiliation was infinite to death, to the payment for our sin. Our chastisement was placed on him, but now all authority is given to him. The name that is above every name, it's above the highest archangel's names. It's way above our adversary's name. And it's certainly way above all our names. He is the Lord. He is the Lord. Let's see another place. Acts, we see that it impacted Paul. And Ephesians, there's another text. But let's look at Peter for a moment in Acts. This is the beginning of the church, the beginning of the mission, the beginning of the developing of the Great Commission. And in Acts chapter 2, Peter is preaching by way of an explanation of what has just happened in Jerusalem. People are witnessing a phenomena of hearing the great deeds of God in the languages of the people from the different nations that were there in Jerusalem that day. They were understanding the wonders of God spoken in their own language, and they were looking at the people speaking the language, and they said, these are not linguists. These are not scholars. Many of these are fishermen. How do they know my language? So Peter says, let me explain what has happened. And in his explanation, he says, just a few days ago, Christ was crucified right here. And he will say, you crucified him with your sinful hands. But I want you to know that he was fulfilling the mission that God had sent him on. This was according to the foreknowledge of his Father. This was according to his purpose to come and redeem people as you took him maliciously and voluntarily killed the Lord of life. It says, but as the promised one, to Abraham, as the promised one to David, he did not remain in the tomb. David's tomb is right here, but his tomb is empty. It's right over there. And he says, Acts chapter 2, we will jump into verse 32. This Jesus, God raised up again, to which we are all witnesses. Therefore, having been exalted, listen to this, exalted to the right hand of God, And having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured forth this which you both see and hear. For it was not David who ascended into heaven, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord. Never forget that. Jesus is God's appointed Lord. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand in the place of all honor. The writer of Hebrews will say that having made purification for our sin, he also speaks as this result. Having made purification for our sins, he sat on the right hand of majesty on high. And Christ himself, as he spoke of his sufferings, he would say, don't you know that it was necessary that the Christ should suffer, but then would go into his glories? He says, sit at my right hand until I make thine enemies a footstool for thy feet. Therefore, let all the house of Israel and everybody here today know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. So, the title of the message is All the Great Commission Always. There are four things, but the first one is the most important. All power has been given to me. Therefore, go unto all nations as God leads, starting in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the rest of the world, starting where you're at, then next door, then wherever God will take you. Teaching them all things, making disciples, teaching them all things. Disciples will be those who hear this message of the risen Lord and understand that he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and the only one who can give grace and mercy and forgiveness, because his is the kingdom. We are his ambassadors. Our function as missionaries, whether it be overseas or whether it be in West Liberty, is to go to people and plead with them and say, be reconciled to the Lord. We preach a gospel of an almighty King, of a glorious Lord. He's all glorious. Sometimes we speak in terms of, well, I am going to make Jesus the Lord of my life. Well, as my teacher used to tell me, God beat you to it. You can acknowledge him as that, but God made him Lord a long time ago. We go in his power. He says, teaching them all things. We need to teach the whole counsel of God. We need to teach of the sovereignty of our Lord and God and Savior, of the salvation that is only possible through his propitiation for our sins. And that the only way we have become partakers is through the grace of God, through faith in Jesus Christ. And that that message that we carry is only effective if the power of the Holy Spirit is working through the Word of God that we're teaching and preaching and instructing to others, that will continue teaching, and the Great Commission will continue on. Because it says, not only all power, all nations, all these things that I have taught you, but it says always. Brother Mike, I am very thankful for the way that God is working and bringing in a younger generation that loves God and loves His Word at this church. That's so important. It's always until the Lord returns. Amen? Our discipling, our seeking to train up others who will lead, who will preach, who will teach, who will do discipleship is the natural ongoing result of having encountered the Almighty Lord. It starts there. That's why Matthew has it first. It's Christ's presentation of himself, and it will be the theme of the rest of the scripture. And of course, John at the end will make sure we don't miss who is on the throne. The Lamb that was slain, the Lion of Judah, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We need to be about that. As we go, we have a king that we are presenting. We are his ambassadors. We are his representatives. His love is our theme. It's his banner over us. We don't have a crusader banner and we're using swords. No, Paul says the weapons of our warfare are spiritual. It's the gospel, the love of Christ, the word of God. And it's powerful as we present King Jesus as the Savior who humbled himself to the utmost and is now exalted to the utmost, that God will use that and empower faith in dead hearts and cold hearts and stone hearts, and will bring hearts of flesh that will love the Lord and will bow before him and will confess Jesus again as Lord. As the Lord. All the angels bow before our Lord. They did at his first coming. When he came into the earth, God said, "Worship my son." And the sky filled and they worship. But now, even greater worship. Because the Lamb that was slain is worthy of all praise, all honor. And God has given him the dominion that will never end. This is who Daniel spoke about. The Son of Man that was brought before the Ancient of Days. And to him was given honor and was given glory. And it would be forever and forever. And as Isaiah speaks also of the Redeemer that has come to Zion, he says, "Yes, and I will bring him, and then you will confess him, and your children will confess him, and their children will confess him forever." And here we are today, confessing Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And if you haven't done that, you need to ask God for his grace upon you. He is the Lord. We will all be before him physically one day. We're all before him spiritually right now. What a joy to sing as we did praises to our Lord and Savior. If you have not confessed him as your Lord and Savior, ask him for grace today. Ask him for forgiveness today. Bend your knee before the Lord and King, Jesus Christ. Trust in him with all your heart. If you do, you will never be ashamed. He will lift up your face. And he will become your rewarder and your reward. We have a great King a loving king, a powerful king. And his message is the transforming message. It's the only hope in this world. It's the only truth in this world. And we have it. But it's all because he has received all power, all authority in heaven and earth. So let us go to all nations as he leads. Let us teach the disciples all the things that we have in Scripture. The whole Scripture points to Christ. Christ is the center of the Scriptures. From beginning to end, it's about him. It's pointing to him. It's teaching us of him. Teaching all things. All nations, all things. Always. And may God continue to give grace to Grace Chapel. And may the generations to come continue to confess that name that is above every name. That we may bow willingly and joyfully to our Lord and Savior who gave his precious blood for our salvation. And you know, this is all for the glory of the Father. In his sovereign purpose, he did this, he planned this, so that the excellencies of his grace would be proclaimed forever and everywhere in Christ Jesus. Believe in him today. Obey him. Go forth. I know this is a verse we use often at missions conferences, but we really need the Great Commission every Sunday. That is why we are still here. That's why we're not with him in his presence, because he still has others that it is his plan to save through the preaching of his word, by the work of his grace and faith in the hearts of his people, that those lives will be transformed and they will become those who will give glory and honor to Jesus Christ. Not only for this life, we're going to be doing this for a long, long time. Forever and ever. Rejoicing in our salvation, in our Savior, and singing his praises and serving him forever and ever and ever. So, church, keep faithful. Continue to put your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Continue to be steadfast in the word and carry out his commission for us, remembering that he is the Lord. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much this morning for your grace. Thank you for the privilege to bow the knee of our hearts before you. And we do this morning, as we look to you in Scripture, we see how glorious you are. And Father, we know we are only seeing dimly now, and yet it is still glorious, Father. And we have rejoiced in seeing your glory in the face of Jesus Christ. Father, allow us to be attentive to the words of your Holy Spirit to us through your Scripture. And may we be obedient. Father, as we have received your word through others who have been faithful, possibly parents, maybe a friend, a neighbor, a co-worker, a fellow student, someone who obeyed your commission, maybe a mom. And here we are today, confessing that you are our Lord and Savior. We have no other hope of salvation except in you. Help us to grow in the knowledge of your grace. Help us to grow in the knowledge of your mission. And work it out in our lives as we fix our eyes on you, the author and finisher of our faith, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And may you receive glory now and forever and ever. Through Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.